I just had to get into it. I know y'all missed me. It's been a couple of days since I've been back on. But I just read and heard some of the craziest shit I've heard in a while in MMA. And it's just... I made my day. So we're just going to get right into it. First of all, Yoel Romero got his chance at a draw taken away. I mean, first of all, if we're going to talk about UFC 225, he just got bent over a couple of times in different areas. The commission pulling his weight cut too short by 40 by an hour. The lack of he was then ineligible to fight for the title, but the fight went on anyway. And then he lost his fight of the night purse because he wasn't allowed to fight for the title because he was pulled an hour before the weight cut was supposedly finished. Even though the doctors on scene said he was fine. And the commission still pulled it anyway, which makes no damn sense. Then I hear Stephen Thompson talking about how those side kicks to the knees should be illegal. And it just sounds like sour baby grapes. And while, trust me, I've had that kick done to me in training, it's a scary kick. And I understand you still have to try to come up with ways to negate it as best you can. That's the goal of life. It's the goal of fighting. Someone presents a problem and you either adapt quickly to it in whatever way you can, or you're humbled by it, yet you're better for it. And he's saying that that kick is a hard kick. The things he's saying don't make a lot of sense. When Jorge Masvidal did it, it was okay. He was just trying to keep me away. When Darren Till did it, it was because he was trying to hurt my knee. When basically whether you keep playing keep away or on the aggressive, I thought that kick is... Excuse me, I'm yawning. I thought that kick is doing what it's exactly designed to do. It's try to damage your kneecap. Like that's why it's done. It's a very effective... It's even implemented in Bruce Lee's Jeet Kune Do book, where he talks about that kick. So that kick is a lineage of being effective. Stephen Thompson crying like... And this is why I also feel if I was a fighter or in my own little sparring world, I don't like shaking hands and being chummy bummy with dudes after. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to disrespect you, but don't try to be my friend afterwards. Because we're going to fight again, or maybe you're going to say something that I'm going to want to fight you again. That whole sportsman shit, I think that's just let's be fake because people want us to be fake. And that's not within my caliber. If we're training buddies, all right, you know, it's cool. But if I don't know you when we're sparring, don't try to talk to me. Don't try to be friends. And I'm going to try to like punch the shit out of you, and you're going to try to punch me. And that's the parameters of what we're supposed to do. I find it so disingenuous when the fighters, they have this big embrace at the end of the fight. And it's like, hey, no problem, I'm glad you're one. And then when it's over, then my man goes back to his part of the world. Darren Till goes back to his part of his world. And yet Stephen Thompson is now crying about the injustice of his loss. Excuse me. Oh, God. The injustice of that move and how he's really damaged. Like, it's a fight. He was going to hurt you. That sideways thing you do, and I've heard Rogan confirm this for me, Ray Longo, like that sideways stance, that's what you do when someone does that sideways stance. You clip their knee like that. That's how it is. That's why Muay Thai guys use that. It's like this is why him and Tyrone Woodley are so evenly matched. They're both whiners. Like they cry about shit, and that I just was like, oh, Wonder Boy, your last fight was a snoozer. Your last couple fights have been snoozers. And you're like, oh, if he didn't kick me like that, I feel like he's trying to hurt me. You know, and a lot of the guys I've heard as Rogan, as Longo, that can be said for like if you're getting elbowed to the face. Like, listen, we should stop elbowing because that guy's trying to really crack my skull when he throws his right elbow. Like yeah, the elbow that Matt Brown threw...
That probably took 5 years off Diego's life. Like, all right, Diego's already talking like, you know, he's already talking like Meldrick Taylor a little bit. He's already slurring his words. That elbow probably elevated his Dame Bramage by 5 years. No one said, oh, wait, we need to stop these elbows. Because the way Matt Brown threw that elbow with his whole body into it, at the top of the skull, that could have killed Diego. No, that they understand. No, Diego's a big boy. He decided to be an MMA fighter. Those are the parameters of MMA fighting. He got to deal with those consequences. But we got Stephen Boy Thompson hopping around crying, and then he's supposed to, like, lead the charge for this? Like, I'm wondering, is there anyone around his camp like, yo, shut the fuck up. Don't say that. Like a personal PR person, don't say that. You're a fighter. You sound like a big vagina. Don't do that. You gotta taste. That sounds like sour grapes. Cut it out. You haven't even been putting on good fights.
I don't know who let him make that statement, but that does him no favors. That really doesn't. I'm not even going to talk about Little Tay, and we all know who I'm referring to, and if you don't, I've started this movement where we don't call Kobe Covington Kobe Covington. We call him Little Tay, because that's basically his MO for his promotion style. He just says some outlandish shit and hopes that everyone falls for it. I'm not even going to really cover anything there. Stipe versus Daniel Cormier. Stipe trying to pretend like he's never going to be in the shadow of Cain Velasquez, because them calling Stipe the baddest man on the planet, the greatest heavyweight, that whole spiel that they try to pull with him, it's not going to work, man, because his rise to the title was
punctuated with beating up rusted, out-of-date heavyweights. The heavyweight is the most out-of-date with talent division there is in the UFC. He beat up Junior Dos Santos when Junior was burnt out already. When that rematch they had, you could tell in the first fight, Junior won by the skin of his teeth. And that when they fought again, Stipe would be too much. He beat up Stipe. He beat up brain-dusted Overeem. He knocked out Mark Hunt. And we know Mark Hunt is back. He's a K-1 level striker, but we know he's past his prime. He always has that puncher's chance. I understand, but he's not a complete mixed martial artist. We know this.
Who else did Stipe, like, beat up? You know, Andre Arlovsky? Like, who was their main... The only person that you could say that was in the measurement of the greats was Cain, Dos Santos. And I remember years ago, Stipe, I haven't said Stipe was the third best heavyweight because he was the freshest. He didn't have any many wars, and he didn't have any really wear and tear from his long training career. Technically, Stipe doesn't have this overwhelmingly...
Oh my God, look at his style of boxing in MMA. It looks like a very workman rate boxing. He's tough, he's aggressive, it works for him. But to call him the best of all time when he never fought Cain, like, that's just because you want to erase the fact that Cain's back is hard. You know, it's worse than the California fault line. It's never going to allow him to really get into discussion like that. Cain has to be officially retired. When's the last time we saw him fought? UFC 200? Like, how long ago was that? But he was always the measurement of Stipe's greatness that never got answered. Daniel Cormier, for all his accomplices, you're ever going to know for him John Jones whipping his ass. So both men are trying to
run out of their boogeyman in the division's shadow. For Stipe, it's Cain. For DC, it's John Jones. Cain and John Jones aren't around, so they're gonna do this hype pitch that, you know, the two greatest of all times are fighting. And, you know, but while they're both great fighters, greatest of all time, calling Stipe that is a joke. You know, he's managed to hold the belt for the longest there is. Yeah, there's never been such a lack of talent in the UFC division in the heavyweight. It's a joke. There's no up and coming. He fought Ngannou being green as fuck, and we saw what happened then. Then there's Curtis Blaydes. I'd like to see Blaydes get a shot. That might make some sense. I like Blaydes wrestling. I like how he, you know, he's a tough grinder as well. At least he's young. He's a fresh face in the UFC division.
You know, he can maybe make some things happen. Who knows? But he's new, and that deserves to be paid attention to. After his molestation of Overeem. You know, and that's what we got to look for. New talent, new faces, fresh bodies. Stipe's rise to the climb is on the backs of burnt out heavyweights. He didn't do nothing drastic here, folks. Even with the DC fight, it's like both their divisions are stagnant, so they're fighting each other. Meanwhile, you got Dana White trying to pump up John Jones versus Brock Lesnar. Like, only stupid people want that fight. It's meaningless. It's stupid. It makes no sense. And I just feel that it shows that UFC is all about cash grab fights. Like, I don't even actively watch UFC anymore. I watch the free fights and I watch the interviews to know what's going on, but I'll never order a UFC pay-per-view again, because I realize it's just hoard out. It's trash, to be honest. But what can you do, folks? Remember, it's better to be the prey than it is. I'm sorry. It's better to be the predator than it is to be the prey. Remember that. Take care.